Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 307, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. I just saw again. I forgot about it until I just saw it again. How about, I mean, one of the better things I saw today was Mad Dog, Chris Russo, in London for the London premiere of the, I just lost, blanked on the title, A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan movie with Timothée Chalamet. And so if you didn't see it, he did a thing, I forget exactly what he said, but he was disappointed he wasn't invited to the original premiere in New York or whatever. You know, Dog did like a joke on, you know, I don't know, he's a music guy, Bob Dylan guy, he doesn't understand why he wasn't involved, something along those lines. And Timothée Chalamet saw it, and on his personal Instagram account put up a picture of Dog yelling, you know that segment he does with ESPN where he's real close to the camera yelling about stuff? And he put a picture of it and said, someone get this guy a ticket to the London premiere. And sure enough, he did. And like, there's videos of him on the red carpet. And then there's a couple of videos of him, just him and Timothée Chalamet meeting up, hanging out. Timothy, you know, he's, thanks for coming, Dog. Like, that is awesome. Like, Timothée Chalamet right now is about as big a movie star as there is. I mean, he ended up losing the Golden Globe, but it felt like he was the Oscar favorite, maybe not anymore after losing the Golden Globe, like I said, but he's been an Oscar favorite for this. Dune was a huge movie. I mean, he's hosting Saturday Night Live coming up on the 25th, I think. He's going to be the musical guest as well, which I saw. He's one of only four people who aren't legit musicians to be both the host and the musical guest, and one of them is Deion Sanders. How about that? Deion Sanders was the musical guest when he hosted on Saturday Night Live. I have no idea what he did, but it all comes full circle. Deion Sanders, we're talking so much about him possibly becoming the next head coach, but I saw it on Instagram. Someone was doing that he's going to be the fourth, and it was like Eddie Murphy, because Eddie Murphy did have that song. He tried to do music a little bit. Like, I think it was Eddie Murphy, Deion Sanders. I forget what the other list was, but it wasn't as anyone that jumped out at me the way Deion Sanders did. But Timothée Chalamet right now is not only a box office guy, but he's considered one of the better actors in Hollywood. He's going to be, you know, he's in all these successful movies. He's up for Oscars. And there he is, like, you know, from New York, obviously, and just chatting it up with Dog. That was awesome.
And you know what his favorite sports team is, right?
I don't. Is he a Jet fan?
Take a guess.
The Yankees.
For you.
Yeah. He's a Yankee fan. Yeah.
I guess the Knicks could also be in there, but I've seen him in the Yankees hat before and at games. Like, he grew up here.
Yeah, he grew up here.
He probably, you would think he knew. Like, he probably knew Dog before, right?
I would think that's part of it, yeah. That he has, I mean, he's a little
young.
He's
old enough to know Mike and the Mad Dog.
I would think. How old is Timothée Chalamet? Let's check.
I just Googled it. He's born in 95.
Okay, so yeah. So I guess he's 12 when they split up? I mean, maybe a little bit.
depending on it depends on like how much your dad or people around you are
exactly,
listening.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, people in the car had it on, but I mean, I think he's probably aware of him, certainly, and maybe even just from ESPN. But it was just, it was awesome. That is so cool. Again, it's more of like the you, who knows who you listen, who may be listening now. Him doing it in the middle of the day on ESPN, slightly different than, you know, me at 3:11. But hey, you never know. So if you're out there and you're a movie star or you're a, invite me to the red carpet premiere, I'll come. I haven't worn anything but sweatpants and a sweatshirt for 2 years, but I'll put something up. Oh, no, that's not true. I went to Craig's event and put on a suit. I have a suit. So, Paul, if you're listening, my favorite unreleased song is Waterspout. All right? I'm a big fan. I'm not just this casual Beatle fan who goes, yeah, I love Hey Jude. I'm your guy. If you're around the city listening, hey, Kiefer, if you're out at a bar or something or, you know, performing country music somewhere. I'm a big fan, Keith. Big fan. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. While I'm yapping, I lost two, so let me get to Chris before he hangs up on me too. What's up, Chris in Freeport? What's up?
Hey, big fan of the show, brother.
Oh, thank you, man. How are you?
Good. First time, long time. I listen to you every single night.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, man. Thank you.
So I appreciate you always keeping it real. You're like a real fan, you know. You don't. I tend to think that you're you don't give biased takes. So I like.
I like to think
show.
That too, but I mean, you know, it depends on who you listen to. I'm a Yankee shill who thinks I just got accused of doing the same thing for the Giants. I love management. Apparently, I'm a big management guy, even though I'm killing John Mara left and right here, but you know I'm okay with Joe Shane staying, so I'm a big management guy. But I like to think I'm fair and balanced.
Well, rightfully so. I think you made some good points. Before I get to my Mets point, I just want to say I agree with you 100% that the Giants should consider Dak Prescott, but I firmly believe that the Daboll's in charge now of the quarterback, of the next quarterback choice. I think Shane may have dropped the ball on that. I know his son wanted what's his name out
Jayden
of
Daniels, but they couldn't get him. They couldn't get him.
No, I know. But I was just joking. But yeah. I do think Daboll's going to have a lot of say in the next.
No doubt, and he should. If Daboll should. This is the way it should go. 100%. Do you love? Hey. He should call Daboll into the office, and Joe Shane should say, Brian, do you believe that Cam Ward and or Shedeur Sanders, one of the two, can be the franchise quarterback that you can coach and that we can transform this organization? Do you believe either of them are the guy? And if he says yes, then you move up and try and get him. It doesn't mean you can. You know, it takes two to tango, but that should absolutely be the conversation. And then it should be, well, other than that, do you believe that we can get someone at three? And then you go from there. But 100%, they need to figure out the quarterback position, and absolutely Brian Daboll. That's why he's here. That's what made him a head coach and candidate for the New York Giants. So, yes, I agree with you. The next quarterback, Brian Daboll, rather, is going to have, if not the most impact in the decision-making, certainly a very large amount of impact in the decision-making.
Yeah, I think he was ready to move on from Danny Dimes.
Absolutely.
And then on my Mets point with the whole Pete Alonso thing, I think the Mets operate a lot more differently than they have in the past. I think they keep everything very, very close to the vest. And I think the offers that Steve has, that Pete Alonso has gotten already, were more from Steve. I think he put a little bit of pressure on Stearns, like, listen, I want to bring this guy back, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think now he's kind of just like, you know what, Pete already disregarded a couple of our offers, so I'm just going to let David handle this and whatever goes, you know, whatever happens, happens. I do think they have an eye on Vladdy a little bit, the same way I felt like a couple years ago that they had an eye on Soto.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could be wrong, but that's
no,
just my,
I listen,
my
and,
opinion
and
on that.
Thank you for the call, Chris, and thank you for being a loyal listener. I appreciate it. I think you've got a very good read on the Alonso situation, and I guess I could do Alonso here. I wonder where Steve Cohen is on this. Because I'll tell you the honest truth. I honestly believe, and again, it's my belief. It doesn't, I don't know it for a fact. I haven't talked to anybody. I wouldn't even presume to tell you. You probably don't even think that. There's no reason to think I would be on the in, on the know with the New York Mets. But I would. My thought is, David Stearns would rather him not sign. I honestly believe Stearns doesn't want him. I mean, to a point, if they get him for a 1 year deal, or you know, they get him where really the market collapses, and that's the question. And I think that's what Stearns is doing right now, where he's just not willing to budge because it's kind of negotiating against himself, and he firmly believes he's in the power situation because I think he understands that Pete Alonso wants to be a Met, and that Pete Alonso will eventually just, if he gets a better deal elsewhere, at least allow the Mets to have a chance to match. So why would you bid against yourself as opposed to, hey, we made you an offer for 3 for $90. You don't like it? That's going to just sit there out there until you tell me someone else is giving you more, and then I'll decide whether I'll match it or not. But that doesn't change the fact. I honestly believe that David Stearns would rather Pete Alonso get another deal and be able to tell him, no, go take it. I think Stearns wants no part of it. He's a big, hulking first baseman who's not very good defensively. He's not terrible, but not very good. He's on the wrong side of 30. He's been trending down the last 2 years. And offensively, he's a home run hitter, and you know, that's what he's been the last 2 years, and hasn't been very good at anything else, and I think they would rather him move on. But the question for me is, where is the owner on this? Because I just saw the report that, you know, people believe the owner's going to have to step in, and I agree. I think the reason you say the owner's going to have to step in is because I don't think the GM wants him. He's not Pete's guy. I mean, Pete's not his guy. He's been 1 year in the organization. He had nothing to do with bringing Pete in here. He's not. I mean, although he's a Met fan, I understand that he grew up a Met fan. He doesn't have, you know, he's trying to win. And yeah, Vladimir next year. But here's the thing about that and everything. Like, they offered him a 3 year deal, and we all understood it. 3 for $30. That still makes him the highest paid first baseman in Major League Baseball, at least annually. We get it. Seems fair to some people. Pete Alonso wants more, right? He came back with a 3 year offer. He's not asking for some outrageous number. At least I wouldn't think so. He's not asking for $40, $45 million a year. He came back and was willing to do a deal on 3 years. That was Friday. We haven't heard one iota of them getting closer on a deal. In fact, Martino yesterday said that there's still a large gap between the two. How in the world? If you want Pete Alonso, he's your guy. He's hit more home runs than anybody this side of Aaron Judge since 2019. In a bad year, he hit 34 home runs and hit the biggest home run your entire wonderful, fun-loving, great season that we can't shut up about how wonderful it was for the New York Mets. And he hit the home run that allowed it to continue. Allowed the Philadelphia series, allowed getting to the NLCS. Without that home run, you don't do any of it. And don't give me other home runs. They're not as big. Sorry, they're not. Lindor's grand slam against the Braves in game one of a doubleheader, if he doesn't hit that and they lose that game, Atlanta plays nobody in game two and the Mets win. Or at least have an opportunity. It's not like they were in a death's door the way they were when Pete hit that home run against one of the best closers in baseball. And then even the Lindor thing, they weren't up against death's door. They had a lead in the series. It's a huge home run. It wins them that game. They might lose that game. And then you're right, the prospects of game five or lesser, I get it. They still weren't at the precipice of the loss. They were two outs away from losing when Pete hit the home run. They were two outs away from going home. That's the biggest home run of the year. He's your guy. He's come to you. All the talk for weeks. Pete Alonso needs to understand. Pete needs to understand. Pete needs to understand. There's an issue with the years. There's an issue with the years. Those are the two nonstop conversations around Pete Alonso, where Pete needs to understand that being a Met long-term is best in his interest, right? Just talk to Darryl Strawberry. Then David Wright comes out. He tells you the same thing. Tiki tells you the same thing. It's about staying in the same uniform. It's important. It's valuable. Pete needs to understand that. And then the conversation, well, the Mets are okay with the money. It's the years. There's an issue about the years. There's an issue about the years. They don't want to pay him long term. Issue about the years. Pete comes back to them and says, all right, I'll take the three. I'll play for 3 years, but you got to give me something. Where are they? How are they not closer? How is this deal not done? And where is the owner? And I know right now going against the owner or even saying the slightest bad word against this owner who's transformed the organization, who's clearly better than the Wilpons, who's had the highest payroll in baseball for the last couple of years, who sends pitchers away and pays their full salary to get the best prospects. I love everything about what I just said. He's done a great job as the owner for the New York Mets. Last year was great. He's done everything you could possibly want him to do. He went out and stole Juan Soto. I know people get mad when I say use the word stole. It's just a turn of phrase. Went out there and got convinced Juan Soto to take $765 million and be a New York Met. He focused on it. It was his goal in life. He wasn't going to be denied, and he wasn't. But if you look at this team right now, they need another bat. They're going to have the biggest dip in payroll right now if they don't do another thing, and I don't know what else they're linked to. They're going to have the biggest dip in payroll from last year to this year than any other team in baseball. Now, they were paying the most than anybody team in baseball prior to this, but they are going to have the biggest dip in payroll even after signing Juan Soto. So the richest owner in baseball coming off an NLCS appearance, is going to go out there and make the bold move, the big move, the city-changing move, and get Juan Soto and then rest on his laurels and say that's enough? And not convince his GM to go out there and give a little bit to someone who is valuable to the New York Mets to keep as well on a 3-year deal, which stops them from doing nothing. Like even the Vladimir Guerrero situation. Like if it's a 6-year deal and you're paying big money to Pete long term, all right, I understand that probably hinders you to go get Vladimir Guerrero. But right now with this team in the short term, you sign Pete Alonso to a 3-year deal. He's the DH. Now, maybe that's a sticking point. I don't think that they're talking about that just yet, but maybe Pete is getting wind and Pete's saying, I want to be a first baseman forever. I don't think that's the holdup, but the idea of, all right, you're the first baseman this year, you're the DH the next two, and you bring in Vlad. What's stopping you? He's the richest owner in baseball. They're $70 million. They're paying $70 million less than they did last year.
Oh, but billionaires, they don't become billionaires by making stupid decisions.
It's investing in the team. You're trying to win a championship, no? I wonder where this owner is on the Pete Alonso situation because it feels like he wouldn't be denied for Juan Soto. And now he's allowing David Stearns to do his thing. And that might not be the worst decision. He brought in the guy for a reason. I get it. But if it's going to come down to a couple of million dollars per year, like I've been fighting with people online constantly on Twitter. They're like, oh, what if he's asking for $40 million? What if he's asking for $35 million a year? You know that the highest, Vladimir Guerrero just got his arbitration number at 29, whatever. That's the highest paid first baseman in history per year. I got to give Pete Alonso more than that? I got to pay Pete more than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. per year when he's nowhere near the player? Okay. I'm just saying, and I know the market's where it is right now for Pete. I get it. And they'll have a chance to match. You would think Pete's going to go to the Mets with an opportunity to match. Maybe. If he's not pissed off at the idea that for $15 million over the course of 3 years, the Mets can overextend to sign their guy. Like if he's asking for $36 million a year. Say he's asking for $36 million a year. And the Mets are like, no, I'm giving you 30. It's the most ever. It's 90 for three. That's the deal. And until you tell me that the Angels are offering you more or the San Francisco Giants are offering you more, then we got nothing to discuss. I mean, if that's how the Mets are going to treat it, and this owner is going to allow $18 million over the course of 3 years to prevent him from having a guy who hits 35 home runs on a bad year to be the protection for Juan Soto as opposed to what right now? As opposed to what? If you're okay with that as a Met fan, because billionaires don't make bad decisions, God bless you. But, I mean, is there no value in the Mets doing the right thing by Pete? Is there no value for the Mets to bring in their guy? They get to be cold-blooded. They get to do what's right business sense-wise. They get to say, the fans get to say about the owner who earned this because he went out and signed Juan Soto. They get to say, hey, Steve Cohen's a businessman. Pete Alonso's market's collapsing right now. You know, hey, why should they give him a penny more? Why should they negotiate against themselves? Why should they overextend for Pete Alonso? Why? But yet Pete Alonso, he should realize that even if he has to take less money, he should be a Met. Why should this owner get away with paying Pete Alonso less money? And honestly, if I was Pete, and I'm hearing it's the years, and then I come back and say, okay, you offered me 3 for $90. Give me 3 for $110. Give me 3 for $105. I want to hit the $100 million mark. Give me 3 for $110. And for $20 million over 3 years, the Mets are like, no. We'll see. We'll see if you're okay with that. To me, there should be, at the very least, a sense and a vibe that these two teams are hammering it out right now. And it doesn't feel that way. Now, again, I'm not in the room. All I can do is based on the reporting. The Mets are good at keeping things quiet. Okay, fine. I'm happy to tell you I've been yelling for no reason. If in 2 days they sign him to a contract for 3 for $97 or 3 for $98 and everything's great, and we can forget this conversation happened. But right now, it feels like the Mets are just being cold-blooded with Pete. Hey, we offered you 3 for $90. You're lucky you got that. Your market's nowhere, and I'm not bidding against myself. So when you're ready to either tell me someone else, unless you're ready to tell me it needs to be more because so-and-so offered you more, or you're ready to take the 3 for $90, enjoy your winter. Have a fun, dry January. And for me, as a Met fan, I would just think, hey, why can't we give him what he wants? Give him a couple $1 million more. It's not going to prevent you from doing anything else. And it's going to have a happy Pete Alonso. And if he plays well, he's opting out after 1 year, and then you don't have to worry about it, theoretically. Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand why the fan base is perfectly okay with being cutthroat with Pete Alonso. But Pete Alonso had to come back to the table. Pete Alonso has to understand. Pete Alonso needs to know he should take less money. And if Pete left for the same amount of money or even a little bit more money, you get the idea that the fans would be like, oh, go ahead, loser. You're going to miss out on playing with the Mets and Juan Soto all these years with the struggling with the Mets. Now we're about to win, and you chose to go to some fledgling franchise like the Angels? Good luck with that. Very much like we heard about Jacob DeGrom. We heard the same thing. Go ahead, Jake. Go enjoy the losing in Texas, that loser organization. You didn't want to be here. You didn't want to be here, plain and simple. You didn't want to be here. So I'm just a little curious that this owner is willing to overextend to get Max Scherzer. He's willing to overextend to get Justin Verlander. He's willing to overextend to trade and pay an enormous amount of money for Lindor. He's willing to do whatever it takes, suites, wardrobes, whatever he has to do to get Juan Soto. But when it comes to their own, when it comes to guys who've done it in the uniform, and when it comes to Pete Alonso, he gets to sit back and say, hey, I'm not giving you a dollar more than I have to. I'm curious why that it's okay for that. Because I think they could use the power bat, and I understood not long term. 3 years, it doesn't hinder them from doing anything. So I think that right now, until the owner makes a decision, the GM is really not that interested. Would rather he says no to this whole thing, but is ultimately, because he's Pete Alonso, willing to give him 3 for $90, and if he takes that, fine. And if he doesn't, great. And the owner has yet to step in and say, hey, this is our guy. Give him the extra whatever a year. Let's get it done. Let's move on. And considering especially that there's $70 million under last year's payroll, And there's no one else. They're not going to get Bregman. They're not. Where are they going? They don't pay for pitching. They're not going to get Bregman. Like, where exactly are the Mets putting this money? They're going to go into the year $70 million less than they were last year? Because I'm pissed at the Yankees right now. And they went to the World Series. The Yankees have cut payroll. They went to the NLCS and they've cut payroll. They went to the World Series. Lost the World Series. Lost Juan Soto. They're cutting payroll after going to the World Series when they should be trying to make sure they win a World Series. I'm pissed that the Yankees have cut payroll. The Mets have cut it by 70, and everybody's cool with it. Nobody has said a single thing. Nobody said, hey, are we going to, spend that money? Are we going to bring in someone, another bat in the middle of the lineup? Are we going to bring in Tanner Scott at the bullpen position? Are we going to do anything? And maybe it's because Juan Soto's a Met, and that's great. And maybe because you guys all expect it. And I can understand why. I would be surprised if Tanner Scott is not a Met. I think it's a perfect fit. Go out there and pay him. But the Pete Alonso situation, day by day, it was about years. He offered the 3 years. Why does it still feel like there is a wide gap between these two? Why do I keep hearing wide gap? Shouldn't it be, hey, they're hammering something out. Pete came back in good faith, said, I'll take a three-year deal. They're working on it. No, it's like, hey, the market's kind of falling apart. And, they're pretty far away. They don't feel like he's going anywhere else. They're not going to negotiate it against themselves. And we'll see. This thing might take a while. Why? Why? And for Met fans, it's just in Cohen we trust, in King Cohen we trust, or do you want him to step in and bring back your guy? 888-808-1019, who, by the way, the team, you want to compete? The Dodgers are literally going to get another 100-mile-an-hour fastball pitcher for nothing. They've got the National League All-Star team as their first three hitters. They've got the best rotation in baseball. They're about to add a, cheap little fix that of a dominating pitcher throws 100 miles an hour. They're the best team in baseball. They're world champions. That's how you're supposed to win a championship now. You're the big brother. You got to compete with the Dodgers. You got to compete with the Braves. You got to compete with the Phillies. You need another bat in this lineup. If you want to do that, you need a back end of the bullpen guy. You want to do that? Let's go. What are we waiting for?
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 340. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We got Eddie Scazzeri in the building. That is the first sign that we are headed to the warm-up show at 5-888-808-1019. Yeah, the Pete Alonso thing is funny to me because I understand not wanting Pete. Like, this is the thing. Like, I am not. Like, I think they could use Pete in this lineup. I do think that they haven't spent. They have money still to spend. Clearly, they'll always have money to spend, but they are $70 million less than last year. I don't really see them connected to anybody else but Tanner Scott. I don't think they're going to add another bat otherwise. And I think if you're going to try and win, which I think they're at now the point, heavy lies the crown. You want to be the big brother in town? That comes with a mandate of World Series or bust. And if you want to compete in the National League, you could use another bat. And I understood more so the long-term contract being an issue for them. Now it's 3 years. If you're willing to offer him 3 for $90, all I'm saying is for your guy, you can't work with him and give him a little bit more than that, even if it's not, even if you don't necessarily, quote unquote, have to until Pete comes back with a better offer. But Pete's not offering other teams necessarily 3 years. He's going to be willing to take less money per to go somewhere else for longer. Like, it just feels like it's a perfect fit once he wanted 3 years, and it just seems like, why aren't the Mets willing to work with him? If other than they don't want him. And I'm curious where the owner is on the whole situation. But could you make a case that the Mets are better off without Pete Alonso? That for 1 year, they'll live with the offense. They had the, I believe it was the seventh most runs scored in Major League Baseball last year. They just made a swap for Pete Alonso for Juan Soto, clearly a favorable swap. And so the offense theoretically shouldn't miss a beat. And especially maybe even get a better, like, I don't think you're going to get a better Lindor. He was so incredible last year. But you can get a better Vientos, possibly, as he matures and grows. And you're going to have, you have prospects who can come in and play the infield. I don't know who's playing first base at the moment. You don't even have Dom Smith. He's with the Yankees. So I'm curious what their plan is moving forward. And it felt like once Pete came to the table with a three-year deal, I thought there'd be faster movement. Because it makes sense for them, especially if he's willing to take an opt-out after one. He hits 45 home runs, maybe opts out to look for that longer deal. In fact, he probably would, considering at that point he might feel like he can get a longer-term deal than he will again in a couple of years, even if it's less money per. And he won't have a, at that point after the opt-out, he already had his tag put on him, the qualifying offer. That's a question. You know what? I don't think he could have it again put on him, even if he signs with the same team. Does that make sense, Mike? Like, I know once you get a qualifying offer put on you, I'm pretty sure you can't have it put on you again.
You can't have it again, yeah.
Even if you end up signing with the same team, it doesn't matter. The qualifying offer was on him.
I think it's already gone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's part of the appeal for not just Alonso, all these guys signing the short-term deal.
Yeah.
Because the next, they can't have the qualifying offer.
I'm just saying it would. I don't know if it matters if like it goes to another team. It shouldn't. I was just, I don't know. In my head, I'm like, well, the qualifying offer ever really even come into play? It's not like.
I want to say yes, but I'm not
100% sure. Because if he signs with another team, then draft picks actually go. Like, nothing happens if the Mets re-sign him. But I would imagine it's still the same thing. He had the qualifying offer put on him. He can't have it again. So if he has a good year next year, he can opt out. And I would think more teams would be open to signing him long-term or giving him a contract. And they wouldn't have any picks associated with it. So, you know, theoretically, you sign him to a 3-year deal with opt-outs, which is reportedly what he's been willing to do. He could be opting out after next year, and then you move on to Vladimir Guerrero, and that makes a lot of sense because Vladimir Guerrero is the better player, the younger free agent, the kind of super free agent that this owner is clearly willing to go get. And now you've got a middle of the order with Vladimir Guerrero, Juan Soto, and Vientos, along with Lindor. That's a hell of a middle. That's a hell of a lineup. So, I mean, I get the idea, but this is the contract that still makes sense to accomplish that. Yeah, I got it. It's 6-7 years. It doesn't make sense to sign Pete Alonso necessarily. But a 3-year deal where he could opt out after one, re-hit the market, yeah, a year older, but hopefully a year more productive and with no picks attached to him, he might find that contract he's looking for, or at least feel like he could find it, which would lead to opting out, and then you're done with him if you don't want him. Like, even if you don't want him, this could be an appealing deal at 3 years. And then even if he stinks and stays, has a bad year and stays for 3 years, another 2 years, it's 2 years, you still sign Vladimir Guerrero, and you've got an overpriced DH. It sucks, but you're the richest owner in baseball. So I just don't get it. I'm confused on why it's taken so long, other than they honestly believe he's not going anywhere else, and so they're not going to do anything for him. 3 for 90, Pete. Find better, and then we'll talk. But you risk alienating the player. I don't know. He's your guy. 888-808-1019. Dom and Yonkers. What's up, Dom?
Hey, what's up, Chris?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Before I say what I got to say, I just got to tell you that I've been following you since you were with Mike Francesa, and I knew you were going to make it.
Well, so thank you very much, although I did. It was me and Monzo with Mike Francesa, and then me and Lugie with Craig and Evan.
Okay, so I got it wrong. I know you were with Mike, but
I was with Mike for a long time, yes. But thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, so the reason why I think they don't want to sign him is I just don't think Lindor and Nimmo, being the two leaders of the team, I don't think they really like Alonso. Being the fact that when the All-Star, he said he only will go to the home run derby if he's the All-Star. So he took that spot away from Nimmo and from Lindor, that they deserve that spot way better than him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a one. I mean, just because he became an All-Star doesn't mean they couldn't have been selected to be All-Stars themselves. It's not like Pete, it's not like a black and white thing where it's like Pete went, therefore they could not. But I understand your point. Yeah, they were more deserving All-Stars than he was, sure.
Yeah, but if you notice that they don't celebrate with him, I just feel he gets hit every time. Nobody defends him. I just don't think the team likes him. And their plan is that they want Vladimir Guerrero next year, and then maybe just move Vientos for 1 year to first base, and then next year we have Vladimir Guerrero, and that's it.
Then who's playing third base? And where in the lineup are you getting the pop? I mean, and it's just the
is
team
the
is.
Is Bregman still available?
Yeah, Bregman's still available. I mean, you think they're going to sign Bregman?
Well, nobody has signed him yet, so we still have hope.
Well, doesn't make sense to your Vladimir Guerrero argument, because then where do you put Vientos? Like, if you sign Bregman
to a DH.
Why can't you do that for Pete? And you want to talk about declining? Bregman's declined as much as Pete Alonso has, and he doesn't hit anywhere near the amount of home runs. And he's not your guy and hasn't done it in your uniform. He's better defensively, sure. But who knows what Vientos is going to be at first base? Like, if your argument is Vlad next year and you'll live with it for 1 year, then you don't sign Bregman. You just live with it. But again, you're trying to win a World Series this year, no? Now, you don't. I don't know how you view it, Met fans. Let me know. Are you now, if you're going to crow that you're the big brother, right? If you are going to crow about nobody wants to be a Yankee anymore and no one cares about the pinstripes and the Mets are a better destination and the Mets are now big brother and, you know, that kind of thing. Well, with that comes the highest of expectations. So no more of being happy that you put on a good show in the NLCS, which I'm not even sure you did. You got blown out in every one of your losses, but you won a couple games against the best team in baseball, no doubt. Even a game more than the Yankees did, although they pitched far better and the games were more contested. But okay, whatever. You're the big brother. You got to win. You can't tell me you're better off. As much as Pete Alonso's declining, you're not a better team next year without him. You're not a better team next year going with, Mauricio, or going with some of the another option in the infield. You're just not. The best version of the New York Mets right now has Pete Alonso playing first base this year. There's no doubt about that. I understand the point moving forward, but even Pete Alonso doesn't stop you from getting Vladimir Guerrero. Certainly not Pete Alonso on a short-term deal, and certainly not Pete Alonso if you give him an opt-out after one and he hits 40 home runs, he's opting out. Like, I just, you know, at this point, I would have assumed it was close. I don't think they want him. I don't think Stearns wants him, and the owner's not going to force it. And if he comes back at his price, then maybe they'll do it. But I just have this weird feeling in my heart of hearts, if you asked David Stearns right now, Pete Alonso's going to call you tomorrow, and he's going to say one of two things. He's going to say, all right, I'll take the 3 for $90. You bastard. Or he says, you know what? Forget this whole thing. I'm working out a long-term deal with the San Francisco Giants. Forget it. If you were to ask David Stearns which call he wants to take tomorrow, I just have this weird feeling he'd rather have the latter. I just have this weird feeling he'd rather just hear, all right, look, I just got offered a 6-year deal for 25 per from the San Francisco Giants. And I think he would say, well, congratulations and good luck. And I think that's the phone call he would rather get than, hey, I'm in for the 3 for $90. I really do. Steve in Long Island. What's up, Steve?
Hey, C-Mac. It's always good to speak to you.
Always good to talk with you.
Thank you. I agree with you on the Mets stake and Alonso, but that's not why I called. I'm calling about football.
Okay.
As I've told you many times, I've been following football and the Jets in particular since 1967. I think I have some knowledge with respect to the game.
Sure.
And I disagree with you slightly on your take with the Giants. My feeling overall, very broadly, is that as important as a QB is, you need a team. You need offensive and defensive lines to control the line of scrimmage. But even more importantly, you need a GM and a head coach that are top caliber. Since following football, the same coaches, regardless of what team, what franchise they worked for, starting back when I watched in 67, following 67, the Don Shula's, the George Allen's, whichever team they were on, went from the Colts to the Dolphins, from the Rams to the Redskins, right. They won. It continued into the Chuck Knox era where he went from the Rams to Buffalo right. to Seattle. The same coaches win. They adjust at halftime. Mm-hmm. They know the game. They understand their opponents.
I get it, I get it. So hiring a good coach is important. Don't disagree. This coaching decision and the GM is a very important decision. I totally agree. But what is, those coaches aren't an option right now.
Right. So, if I'm the Jets, I want Brian Flores. I know they didn't.
Well, what makes you think Brian Flores is that guy that you just discussed?
When he was the head coach with the Dolphins, mm-hmm. they had minimal talent. Yep. They are much more talented now than when they had Flores as coach, and they were a strongly competitive team. It was clear that they were on the uptrend. I don't know what went on down there with him.
If you listen to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who played for him, he became a different guy year two. Year one, they gave him no talent, and he was able to suck for two a year, and they were able to compete and be far better than anybody thought they would be, and it was a great job year one. And then year two, Tua comes in. He was not good to the young quarterback. He isolated himself, and pretty much everyone in the building despised him. Like, that's pretty much what Ryan Fitzpatrick told you, that he stopped listening to people. He stopped talking to people. He stopped involving other coaches in decision-making, and he alienated himself from the entire organization. That's what Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that's just Ryan Fitzpatrick's opinion. Doesn't make it gospel, but that's what his explanation was for what happened. And it's not a great indictment on the coach.
Well, it is an indictment on the coach, but my concern is that they're going to go out and select another one of the different offensive or defensive coordinators mm-hmm. around the league who's mediocre, just like they've picked over the last 15, 20 years, and Kling Rex, who, yes, I know he went to the AFC Championship twice, but I was not enamored of Rex.
I guess. I don't know, Steve. I think that's unfair. You weren't enamored with Rex Ryan taking Mark Sanchez to back-to-back AFC Championship games, but you were really impressed with the competitive Dolphins 2 years ago? Like, I mean, come on. Come on. There's no reason to be overly impressed with Brian Flores. There is no reason. There's no reason. He did a decent job in Miami. I wouldn't say otherwise, especially year one. Totally agree. He was given a team with very little talent and really no desire to win from the organization, and he did a good job with it. Year two was not the same. And did he deserve to be fired or not? I don't know. Again, Ryan Fitzpatrick told you why he was fired. Doesn't mean he should have been necessarily, and it doesn't mean he couldn't have adapted or changed things. And certainly from the outside, I remember perception was what the hell they firing him for. Totally agree. And if you want to go just on that, he's done a very solid year as the defensive coordinator for Minnesota. Early on, he was like the talk of the NFL a little bit with the job they were doing and how good that defense was early on. And I think he's a fine defensive coordinator. I do think in big games here the last 2 weeks, he's been part of the reason that they failed. Not as much as Sam Darnold in the offense. Totally agree. But I don't think that the Lions ran all over him in that game 2 weeks ago. Just absolutely dominated, did whatever they wanted to do. So, I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing. He's absolutely one of the top candidates. Him, Glenn, but I would go offense. I would go offense. It doesn't have to be a hotshot coordinator. I agree. Maybe someone with – that's why Matt Nagy kind of like fits the mold for me on some levels. He's got head coaching experience. He's got a better coaching record than Flores does in Miami. He won games with – he went to the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky – who in this world of recycled quarterbacks, everybody gets opportunities. No one's given Mitch Trubisky another shot. And if it wasn't for the double doink game, he wins a playoff game. He had a winning record with Chicago. No coach before or after since Lovie Smith has had a winning record in Chicago. And I just think he's an offensive mind. He's been working with Andy Reid, and it's an offensive game. Again, no defensive-minded head coach not named Bill Belichick has won a Super Bowl since 2009. I'm if you're going to get a young quarterback in here, you got to have an offensive head coach. Because even if you're successful with a defensive head coach, people are going to hire the coordinator. And then you're changing offenses. You can change coordinators if you have an offensive head coach. The offensive game plan remains the same. The rent, it stays like a before.